Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
Our guest today is Paris-born, self-taught French pianist and composer Jean-Michel Pilc. Hailed by critics as a musical genius, he's garnered praise for what has been called a comprehensive pianism that expresses so much of what has made jazz fascinating, problematic, and inspiring. He's toured over 40 countries, recorded over a dozen albums, and scored numerous film projects. And I had the pleasure of speaking with him about his life and his recent album, New Dreams. Are you self-taught?
Yes, mainly self-taught. I mean, I had piano lessons when I was a kid until I was probably something like 9 years old. And then from that moment on, I've been entirely self-taught. No music lessons, no jazz lessons ever. I've all learned from the records and from, you know, my own process, I would say.
Oh, I am speechless because you are so talented and there's a lot of classical in what you play to me. I hear a certain orientation there. I don't know. Do you practice classical music at all when you practice? Do you practice?
Oh, actually, I used to practice a lot. A lot of technical stuff, you know, stuff to really develop the finger, the agility, the independence. But since a few years, I've kind of given up because now if I do it, it comes back very fast. You know, it's like biking. Now it's
there.
It's acquired, you know, it's there. But now I play, when I'm at home, I basically play pretty much only classical music when I play the piano. And then when I do something else, it's more about writing, arranging, developing ideas. But I also improvise sometime in the evening, you know, just for my pleasure, just
yes.
to make music. And sometimes that, you know, that actually from improvisation you develop new tunes, you know.
Of course, absolutely.
But when I play piano, I really play lots of classical music. To me, that's jazz and classical music are pretty much the same music.
Yes, I think any musician really feels that way because there is no line there in terms of the inspiration and the foundation and the notes and the thematic, you know, progression and things like that. I think that, but a jazz is largely improvisation, and I think probably many of your tunes, you play them once, I think, and that's just about it, isn't it? It's always different each time.
Oh, it's always different each time. Yeah, I wish actually most musicians felt the way you said they feel, but you discover sometimes that musicians have a very narrow culture, that jazz musicians don't know jazz, but sometimes you're very surprised at how little they know last century music, you know, and they don't realize that classical composers were improvisers. They were the jazzmen of
yes.
the last century. But many, you would be astonished how little people think like that.
Well, I think that you cannot divorce music from music. I mean, you know, it's really all the same language that you're using. But
yeah, I agree with that.
But I am so fascinated with the fact that you were not a musician for quite a while, and then you made a decision that you're going to just go into the music business. I mean, you probably played all those years, but to actually earn a living, that's not what you did, was it?
Well, let's say that I've been a musician all my life, but on top of it, you know, I did some other things that actually have been very incidental. I mean, you know, I happened to be pretty gifted at school, and as a result, I ended up in a company working as what you would call, you know, a rocket scientist. But, you know, people tend to put lots of emphasis on this. And to me, it's just an accident in my life because all my life I've been a musician. I was not mature enough at the time to really realize how important I kind of realized it, but I wasn't mature enough to really make the right decisions, which I make pretty fast after I ended up in the company. I realized, you know, it was all wrong for me. But I would say I consider myself really as a a musician from day one, and I just happened to do some other things, which were very interesting and very, I don't regret I did it, because I think I grew differently from many musicians thanks to that. I know what it is to live in what I would call the real world, even though it doesn't mean much. But it gave me some approach to life, which is different from many of my colleagues, you know.
Well, the French Space Agency, I read somewhere. So
it was actually the CNES, which is a center. You know what? I can't even remember what it means, but it's pretty much what you said. Yeah.
I have to say that this album is very, I don't want to insult you, very listenable.
Oh, it's not an insult at all. Don't worry.
It's wonderful. You are intrigued. Each piece that you do, one finds oneself really listening to it, what you are doing, the various techniques that you're using. And I'm sure a lot of them are inspired, but some might very well be very intentional, you know. For instance, we'll start with the Widmung. I mean, that's Robert Schumann. Okay, why did you even decide to put that on the album?
Well, I think in music, to me, in music, you don't make any real decision. I don't believe you have approaches or decisions or goals or even, to me, music comes to you. I mean, music comes to me. It's like, I am almost like, I don't exist when music comes. You know, I'm like, I have to put actually myself out of the way of music so that music can do its job and use me, you know. But I didn't invent that thing. Picasso said it before me. He said, painting uses me. I'm not a painter. It's just painting just uses me as its instrument.
Well, I was going to say, you're the instrument, yes.
Exactly. I am the instrument. Piano is just an object. I am the real instrument of music. So my job, actually, if I can name it like that, it's just to stay out of the way of music, let it do its job, and just be used as a receptor, emitter, receptor that I think I am, you know. And Widmung, well, very simply, I heard, a version of that melody by Von Cliburn, and in the arrangement that Franz Liszt did of the original, which was actually for voice and piano. And I just fell in love with the melody. It was totally obvious that I had to play it. You know, I was like, you know, I sang it for like 3 days, and at some point I was like, you know, I have to play this thing, you know.
Yes, it's very haunting, yeah.
And just the melody chose me, you know. I mean, the melody fell upon me, and I had no choice but to play. That's the thing in music. You end up having no choice.
I have to say that your New Dreams reminds me a little of the Brahms intermezzos. I don't know why.
I love this music.
It sounds like to me. There's something there that, again, it's very haunting. Very haunting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you say that because, when I wrote it, I said, oh, there is a little bit of a Schubert Brahms thing going on here.
Yeah, there was
definitely. And of course, Brahms was very much influenced by Schubert. So, but I wasn't thinking of that. I had this melody, you know how it goes. You have the melody that just develops in your head.
And right.
To me, just like, if the melody is there, I just want to play it and eventually put it on paper so that I can play it later or even record it, you know, so that I remember it. Mm-hmm. Many of my tunes just actually spread out from just improvisations, you know. You improvise.
Well, I think that's what jazz is, and I know that is a whole different concept because classical musicians, you know, they learn it and they record it and they put it down. And I was very surprised when I started getting into jazz how each time it's different. I mean, that's what improvisation is. So when you record it, that's great, but, you know, it could be different the next time. So
absolutely. But I would say that to me, classical music should be that too. I mean, when you listen to people like Horowitz or Gould, they never play twice the same piece the same way twice. I mean,
well, they don't play it the same way, but the notes are the same. What you do in improvisation is you really change the concept a little bit each time. I think maybe you expand it. You probably...
Oh, I have no concept. That's a word that I try to avoid at all costs, because I think concept is actually and goes against the music. I mean, what I meant by classical music being the same to me was that people like Mozart, Beethoven, Chopin, Schubert, Liszt, Brahms, etc., were all improvisers, and I think what they wrote was actually improvised in their head. But at the time, of course, you couldn't record, and so they had no choice that either to play it on live or to write it on paper. But those people were improvising all the time, and I think what we play from them are improvisation.
Yes.
I think Mozart just was a gifted a genius improviser.
Yes, he was a genius improviser.
And he couldn't record his improvisation, so he put them to paper. But he said himself that he was improvising the piano part of his concertos most often. He wasn't using the written part. So to me, classical and jazz are really those are just words. You know, to me, it's really the same music, the same, I would say, spontaneous combustion type of thing.
Yes,
you know?
It is.
And I don't think concepts have anything to do with it. I think it's all about instinct, inspiration, and integrity. Lots of I here, but
No, you're right, because I have whatever I listen to, I kept writing down inspiration.
But yeah, you know,
that's exactly what happened.
Lots of words with an I. I mean, when I think of it, I think of instinct, inspiration, innocence, integrity, inevitability. You know, it's all those
good
words
for
in
you.
I.
Well, you know what else I got a feeling in some of the things that you played, that you took a little phrase of some kind, or maybe a turn of a phrase, and you kept working it and doing different things, and kind of you were playing around. You kind of honed in on one idea. And then you, of course, again, not a concept, but this was something that intrigued you. I had that feeling in Trees was one. And then the simplicity I liked very, very much. I thought that was a beautiful thing that you did. But you had a thematic thing, and then you did some dissonant harmony against it. I don't know. It was interesting.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, when I play music, to me, it's really very, very based on two things, the melody and the groove, you know.
Right, right.
And many people play on chord progressions. It's like, you know, you have a chord progression,
right.
And then you have to put notes inside the chord progression. And to me, that has always kind of sounded like jail, you know. You have like the C major jail.
Yeah,
and then
you
go from cell to cell.
That's
me, that's a strange way to think about music. To me, it's more about melody and groove. And as a result, I guess, you know, even though there is no concept, I would say it's very, very difficult to describe, you know, inspiration. But if a melody inspires you, then, you know, that melody becomes kind of the thread, you know, that leads you to music, you know. And when I am inspired and find a melody that I really like, really speaks to me, you know, then this melody becomes kind of my guide, it becomes kind of my thread, and I want to follow it, which probably leads to the fact that I'm going to work it, like you say. But I think the main point is that, you know, I let music do its work once again, which means if the melody seizes me, I'm going to let myself be seized by the melody and see where this melody is going to bring me, where it's going to send me, you know.
People that aren't musicians sit down and they think, oh, you sit down and he's inspired and he does it. You have to know where you're going, though. I mean, you have to understand what's happening to you, don't you?
No, you don't. I mean, it's very, very intuitive. I mean, there is very, very, very little rational thought going on when you're inspired. I mean, the more you're inspired, the less rational thought you have. I mean, I believe somewhere, I mean, I always say this, when you are really inspired, there is you. And there is this other person in you who is, you know, Jean-Michel number two in my case, you know, and that Jean-Michel number two is taking over, you know, and he's becoming the instrument of music, as we say. And I don't understand that person. It's not me anymore. It's someone else. And if I'm really, really very inspired, I feel like I could stand, leave the piano, go have a drink at the bar, and the music is going to go on. I mean, the moments of really great inspiration, I just cease to exist. So how could I, if I say that I have irrational thoughts, I go back to I, you know what I'm saying? So it's
But it's not just, it doesn't happen from nothing. I think that's what I'm saying. You have not only musicality, but you have understanding. I mean, say you have harmonic understanding. You're not just taken from one thing to another without realizing where you're going. I don't know how else to describe it. You are inspired, and you're right. You are drawn away from yourself because of where you're going, but you do intellectually understand kind of something, don't you?
I have to contradict you on this one.
No, I'm asking.
I'm sorry,
asking.
Gia.
Okay.
I'm very sincere.
You're amazing.
I am sincere. No, I mean, I think great painters, for example, know how to mix colors to get to what they see, and they don't need to intellectually analyze what's in the colors. I mean, they just see. I just feel. I just hear. When I play, I'm, it's really like painting to me. I mix colors, but those colors, you know, I can feel how I'm going to express them. There is nothing intellectual or rational. There might be something intellectual or rational somewhere in me, but I don't perceive it. And the more I'm inspired, the less I perceive it. You know, to me, it's a little bit, there is another way to put it, is that, basically what happens is that, there is a big wave of music that seizes you, and suddenly, you know, it makes everything clear. But it's not an intellectual or rational clarity. It's definitely something on a much deeper level, which is very sensual, very, very sensitive, very sensitive. It's something that happens at a level that you don't control anymore. And you know what Glenn Gould used to say, just to quote him again, mm-hmm. he said, if a caterpillar thinks how it walks, it cannot walk anymore. You have to keep the mystery of it. Otherwise, if you try to break into the mystery of it, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, but if you're playing a standard, say you play a standard and you've got to do something with it. I know, the Satin Doll was very interesting to me. I heard all mm-hmm. kinds of quotes from other tunes in there. But, if you're playing a piece that was written and there's certain defined, I guess I have to say chords or something. I mean, that was the way the piece was written. And then you can take it and improvise around it and do whatever you want, and make it a whole different sounding thing. But essentially what you're doing is you're working around a thematic material that was put down by somebody else, right? I mean, if you're going to play a standard, right?
Yeah, sure. It's like tema and variation. You take an original material by that particular case, Duke Ellington, and then you let inspiration do the variation, you know.
But that's what I meant when I said intellectually, you recognize that there is a theme, there is a song that was written by somebody else, and this was the song, and then you reinterpret this in your...
But you don't think about it when you play. You don't think about those kind of things when you play. I mean, when I play Satin Doll, I don't think that it's by Duke Ellington. I don't even know that anymore. I mean, what I know is that I hear notes, I hear a melody, which I like. And from that moment, if I am inspired, I remember when I played it in the studio, I started Satin Doll. It wasn't even premeditated. It happened also with So What in my first album, you know, uh-huh. for Dreyfus.
Right.
I had no idea I was even going to play that. And when I started playing it, you know, I don't think, oh, this has been done by Miles Davis in Kind of Blue. You know, all those things to me don't exist. From the moment the music takes over, I'm on a different universe. I mean, the people don't even exist anymore.
It becomes a universe
of sound, you know.
But you knew it was that tune. I mean, somewhere in your consciousness, you knew that you were playing a tune that was written and sounded somewhat like this, and then you reinterpreted it. That's what I'm saying. I think there's a certain element there of understanding, isn't there?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I reinterpreted, because there is no re. I mean, it's
okay,
like
all right. You interpreted.
No, it's not even that. It's I just, you know, write music on the spot. I would say I'm a composer, actually.
Yes.
I compose
mm-hmm.
pretty fast because I'm an improviser. But, you know, I'm just a composer. What happens is that, of course, I've been inspired by all those great people that I've heard all my life, not only, of course, jazz and classical, but some other kinds of music, world music, you know, pop music, lots
sure.
of stuff. But basically what happens at the moment I start playing is that I become a composer. I'm with with the other musician. That's where
Well, you know, it's very evident. I mean, that part is evident. Now, you also have written some film music, right?
Yes, I have in the past. Not recently, unfortunately, because I would love to do it. That's something that I've always been attracted to. But for some reason, it has not happened recently, which I regret, because I love to do that. I mean, I love the way image can inspire you, you know, musically. And
I hope
I will do it again in the future.
I see in all of your original stuff, you're very inspired by nature, too, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I am.
You
know, I think there is a relationship between nature and music, that nature does what it wants, you know, and music mm-hmm. does what it wants. And I think when you see nature and you see the incredible thing that surround you, when you really open your eyes, I live in the Catskill area, so I take long
there.
Walks.
Uh-huh.
It's phenomenal. I take long walks, you know, see animals and plants and trees and, you know, and you go back and it really inspires you for music tremendously, because you have that feeling of, like I say, inevitability. That's how it is. You know, when you go back to the piano and music takes over, and you have the same feel of inevitability. You know, the music and nature to me are very similar things in a way. You know?
Yes. And of course you are one. You yourself are one with your art, which is really a joy for you, certainly, and a gift as well. And you certainly do let us know as we listen to you play, you know, who you are and how you think and how you feel. It's really, your album, certainly The New Dreams, is really quite beautiful. And I was
thank you so,
so
much,
impressed
Jill.
With it. Well, I wish you the best, Jean-Michel. It's just been a joy speaking to you, and also very refreshing to hear someone who really, really, understands his place in the whole hierarchy of art, because you really do. It's great. It's great.
Thank you so
that.
Much, Jill. It's been a pleasure likewise, and I look forward to meeting
same
you.
Same here, Jean-Michel. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.